Father, we're going to endeavor to simply break open the Word this morning, and we know that it's living and active and mighty. And so would you, by your Spirit, take your Word through an imperfect servant to the hearts of people? And would we leave here having heard from you today? In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. I have three goals this morning, because there's got to be three. I don't know why, there just has to be. And they are this. I want this morning to tell moms to keep on keeping on. If ever there was a discouraging job, I think it's being a mom. I ran onto this thing that was out of a Dear Abby column, and the lady had written in, and she was talking about how being a mom, she just kind of looked down on, and she listed all the things she did, and she made this one comment. She said, if you hired someone to do what I do for the family, it would cost about $75,000 a year. And I had to laugh. It would cost more than that. Moms are a busy group of people. And I want to encourage you that God has given you an amazing role. And I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Secondly, I want all of us to remember the value of having a mom. And that you would leave valuing your mom differently. Now, I get the privilege to work with people, and I've heard amazing, heartfelt stories. And I've had people come in and go, you know, I don't know what it looks like to honor my parent. Because, truthfully, my mom was horrible. And they go on to tell me that because of addiction or because of just plain selfishness or whatever, that their experience wasn't a good one. And I believe that all experiences can be redeemed in Christ, and that you can leave here valuing that investment in your life differently. Thirdly, I want you to leave here choosing, making a choice, a decision to honor your mom. I want you to be able to go away from this place and recount the blessing of her investment in your life and renew the desire in you to give her honor for the role that God gave her. And so my key text this morning, we're going to be all over the place, just found in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Let's read it together. Proverbs 1, verses 7 to 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, I find it interesting to know a little bit about who's writing this and what are they talking about. And Solomon has all of these great things to say in the book of Proverbs. And how many of you remember that Solomon's mom was Bathsheba? Remember that? Remember the story about David and how he didn't go to war with the troops and how he looked out and saw this woman having a bath and he lusted in his heart and he sinned? And you remember the whole story. Well, eventually they get married, and Solomon is born to David and Bathsheba. And if you went back to 1 Kings 2:19, you'd see Bathsheba coming to see Solomon while he was king. And she comes to ask him for a favor, and she comes into his presence, and Solomon does this really interesting thing. He just welcomes her, and then he says, go get another throne and put it beside me. And he seats her on his right hand. And you see an honor of a son for his mom. And in the book of Proverbs, we find this interesting passage. As we pull it apart, we see three different things that I think are important for us today and that leave us encouraged. First, that the family model is implied. It's taken for granted that fathers, mothers, and children are going to be in a unique relationship relating with one another. It's something that we can't take for granted in our society today, but that we see implied very strongly. In fact, if you go back through Scripture, you find that family is God's preferred plan. It's how He designed things to work. In Genesis 1:27, it says, we were created male and female, and that we were created uniquely and with unique roles in creation. In Genesis 2:24, it talks about a man and a woman leaving their parents and cleaving together, becoming husband and wife and starting a family unit. If you were to go through Scripture, and I don't have time today to unpack all of that, you would find that God's preferred plan is for the family to operate as a unit and there to be communication within the family, that mothers and fathers and children would be relating to one another. Now, I want to note something here. I am very aware that we live in a sin-racked world and that we don't always deal with the perfect plan. I know that God's preferred plan is family, but lots of you are here today going, hey, you know what? I know what it's like to be a single parent. I know what it's like not to have both parents involved. And I want you to just note this, that sometime do a study in Scripture and unpack all the verses in the New Testament about God's heart for people who don't have both parents. It's huge. And God commands His people to be involved in one another's lives. And in the Old Testament, there was provision made if something happened to one of the parents for those children to be cared for. And while family is God's preferred model, don't ever miss His heart for situations that are less than the preferred. And don't you dare leave here this morning and think you're anything less to God because you don't enjoy the preferred model today. God has a huge heart towards this. But family is the model of God for raising children, and roles were given distinctly by God to the family. Secondly, I want you to see that families are learning centers. Now, all the kids are just going to roll their eyes up and go right to sleep. School, out, gone. Families are supposed to be learning centers. Now, I say that you're learning in your family, whether you know it or not. You're just learning good things or bad things, right? Whether you know it or not, how you do family is imprinting your kids. I get to do something really fun. I get to do premarital counseling. Now, I can't divulge all the secrets I learn about your homes, but do I know some great stuff? No. As we sit down and we unpack a little bit about how your home operated, we find out what the expectations of the children are. And you know what we learn very quickly? Not only do they have your DNA, which means if you have genetic things to pass on that's passed on to your kids, they're imprinted by your home. And how you handled your role in your home imprinted your children. And it's what their expectation is when they come to form their own home. Family is a learning center. In the verse we find these words, instruction, teaching. It sounds like a learning place, doesn't it? And most things in life we're taught. It's not instinctive, right? In fact, we're taught how to dress, how to walk properly, how to eat at the table, manners. If we were just left to our instincts, we'd be a mess. But we're taught. And in the home, we're not only taught all the practical things about doing life, but we're taught about relationship with God. And so the family is a learning center. It's not just a place for shelter, food, and clothes. I think this probably drives home to me most in Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it talks about... The passage starts out with love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And it tells them to obey what God's commanded them to do, that it would go well into the land that they're possessing, that God's giving them. And then it says the things that you know about God, it says to put them on the door frames of your home and bind them on your clothes. And it says impress them on your children. And then it starts to say when you sit down and when you walk and when you eat. And when you go to bed. And the implication is, as you do life, the things of God are taught and impressed. And that values are modeled and caught, not talked about and taught. I'll say it again. Values are modeled and caught, not spoken of and taught. Because what's important to you, what you will give your time to, what you will give your money to, what's important to you, your kids will know. And so families are learning centers. We see a few things in the passage about the type of learning that's supposed to happen in the family. The foundation for all of this teaching is supposed to be the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Knowledge starts here. Have you ever wanted someone to give you a reason why we do something? I have, right? They say, hey, you got to sit still and be quiet. Why? Why do I have to do that? Well, because it's disruptive and because it's, you know, well, just because I told you so. Sit still and be quiet. I told you so never worked for me. Not so much. Even now I ask the questions, why do we sit in rows like this? Is this the best way to do it? Why do we always have this and then this and then this? Is there a reason? You see, if there is, I'm good with it. But if there isn't, I just might want to do it differently. As we talk about values with our kids in our homes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. There is a foundation from which we begin to pass values on. And the foundation is the fear of the Lord. There is a basis for which we have knowledge and impart knowledge, the fear of the Lord. There is a reason why the family operates the way it does, why we have the values we do, and why it's important for our children to have those values. It is the fear of the Lord. It is the foundational issue for counsel and instruction, a commitment to truth, a baseline for decisions. And for us to surrender and be obedient to the commands of God in our personal walk and in our life as a family will pass on the importance, the reason. See, it's not enough to say you need to do this because I do it or because I said so. You need to tell them why. And if you don't understand that the fear of the Lord is the basis for doing that, then your opinion doesn't matter any more than anyone else's. Right? It's got to be connected to the truth and got to be modeled in your life. Well, the foundation for the teaching is the fear of the Lord. There's two teachers in the school. Now, I don't know why it says fathers instruct and mothers teach. But in the passage, those are the two words it uses. Fathers instruct, mothers teach. Now, in, you know, many homes, maybe like mine, it would be mother would tell me what was going to happen, and father would come home and spank me because I was told I was getting a spanking. So it was like the reinforcement and the instruction, right? She would say, you and your dad gets home, you're in trouble. And dad would come home, and sure enough, I was in trouble. It was driven home, so to speak. But it says both fathers and mothers are instructing and teaching or supporting the same principles in the home. Both are active and involved in the learning. And I want you to see that Solomon drives the issue home when he names both and gives both an important, distinct role in the passing on of values. There's also a role for the students here. And you know what we all have in common this morning? Anyone? No, we're all good looking? No. Some of you, not so much. No. We all have a mother. Right? We all have a mother. Every last one of us has a mother. And so we all are a student. Now look at what it says here. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen. Basically says, hear, open your ears, and give of your attention to what is being spoken. Listen. I've got a son, and I remind him frequently to listen to me. But boy, do I love it when of his own accord, as we talk about life, he gives me his full attention. I know he's hearing my heart and hearing what I have to say. Listen, my son. And then it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Open your heart and receive. Let it turn into life action. What does it mean to forsake something? Well, I think the best way I can describe it is when you have it and you turn away and abandon it. You forsake it. It's there, you see it, you understand it, and you walk away from it. It says, listen, do not forsake. You see, the temptation here is to rebel against this teaching. And I've been there, and some of you guys are there, and some of you can think back to these times when all you hear is blah, 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 blah. I mean, they're talking. You see them doing this, and you want them to do this. Stop talking to me. I don't want to hear your opinion. You're old. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand the pressures I'm under at school. You don't know what's cool anymore. See, the temptation is not to listen. The temptation is to say, that's just your opinion. I've got other people speaking into my life now. What makes you right and them wrong? I'm going to university. I'm hearing new ideas and new thoughts and new ways of looking at things. Listen. See, the temptation is to just shut it out because it's coming from the same source or it's familiar or you're not going to receive it. And I'm telling you, students of all ages, listen to the wisdom of your parents passed down. Don't tune it out. And then it says the other temptation is to ignore what's taught. To look at it as being out of touch or irrelevant. Now, it's interesting, this morning I'm dressed like this. And you know, this whole putting the sermons on the website thing stinks. Because my mom and dad can access this. And I am going to be in so much trouble. I'm talking to my mom on the phone this morning. And she said, I can picture you in your office. And, you know, they pray for me on Sunday mornings. It's really cool to talk to them on the phone. And I look down and I think, yeah, you're not picturing me this morning. Because you tell me to wear a tie every Sunday. And when I don't, she's like, well, you look nice, but, you know, you look better with a tie. I don't know, a tie gives you more authority or something. I don't get it. But here's the thing. The temptation is to say what you're saying is out of touch and irrelevant because 90% of 99%, not one, two, a huge percentage of our church doesn't wear ties anymore. It's not kind of the ethos. It's not required anymore. It's not offensive not to do it. But what I really need to hear from my mom is, don't neglect doing your best for God this morning. Don't forget you serve a living and almighty God. And she would drive that home and she would say, you know what? If you don't wear something good, if you don't take care in your appearance, if you don't go to church ready to see God, and He's that important to you, then that's wrong on your part. That's an attitude that's off. And what I need to do is not tune her out as irrelevant or not applicable to my situation, but hear the heart behind what she's saying. What I'm trying to tell you is the temptation here as students, and remember, we all have this in common, we're all students, is to ignore the teaching of our parents. And yet Solomon's very clear, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Hear what they have to say. In fact, God takes this so seriously, He put it in as one of the big ten, didn't He? In Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother. I don't think there's any way we could dishonor someone more than to simply tune them out or forsake what it is they're trying to impart. This matters to the very heart of God. Well, the third thing I want you to see is that the family unit is designed to experience blessing. Solomon says, they will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I want you to notice that both of those things, something in your hair, on your head, and something around your neck are visible. People around you will see them and will be able to recognize them. How many of you notice when someone wears a garland in their hair? Come on, everybody notices. It's participatory. It's all right. You can even smile. It's fun. Yeah. And a chain around your neck. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that when you put this into practice, there's a blessing that your family has. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2, it says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, just stop right there. I want you to see that you're to obey your parents in the Lord. That up to and stopping at instruction that tells you to go directly against God's counsel, you are to obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. You see, that honor somehow is tied to a blessing in Scripture. It's a great truth that we can leave a legacy for our children, and we can enjoy a legacy as children to honor our father and our mother. And there's a blessing promise from God. Let me tell you what. This becomes tough even as you get older. Right? Because you start making these decisions. Hey, I only have so many weeks of holidays, and the kids are growing up fast, and we got to have family time, and my goodness, how are we going to squeeze all this in? And you guys are making all these demands on me, and you know what? You don't really have room for us when we go there, and you treat us like a kid when we get there. It'd be easier not to go, right? I've heard that from some of you. I've heard other things about, oh, my parents are just getting cranky in their old age. They're just hard to have around. Some of you are smiling because you're going, was that me? Did I say that? Wasn't me, was it? Your children are watching you honor your parents, and they're going to honor you the same way. Okay, on Mother's Day, it's important that you hear this. Honor your father and your mother. Do not forsake their teaching. Listen to what they have to say. Go out of your way to give them a place of value and importance in your life, and God will bless you for it. That's what this book says. And if you don't leave hearing anything else, hear that. Well, let's ask the big question. We're rushing today. So what? Moms, keep on keeping on. God has given you a valuable role to teach and to model God to your family. Is absolutely important. Don't be discouraged. Don't judge how you're doing by how your kids are responding or how easily your husband's being trained. Keep on keeping on. God has given you a role. He's created you unique. He's entrusted a special thing to you. Don't despair. Don't despair. Secondly, children. That's all of us because we're all students. Mark the messages that your parents are giving and value them. Make it a point to listen when you talk on the phone. Make it a point to talk about life and the issues that you're facing and hear the counsel that's being given and take the wisdom. And don't forsake, but embrace. And go away from here asking your spouse or yourself, how are we doing at this? Now, even if your parents have passed on, you have all these memories and all this stuff that's gone on before where these lessons are just laid out for you. Are you embracing them? Are you honoring them? Are you passing them on? You know, as God's children, we should really be setting the standard for our world and what it means to honor our parents. And it takes intention and purpose. It involves in our lives a sacrifice, a planning, an intention. It involves money. It involves time. And so you've got a couple of questions to ask in your home. Kids, how are you honoring your mom today? Families, how are you honoring your respective moms, in-laws, and outlaws, as it were? And how are you doing at reflecting Christ to the world around you in how you honor your parents? Because the Bible tells us it's important to the heart of God. I want you to leave this morning on Mother's Day knowing that, moms, your role is valued. Keep on keeping on. Students, pay attention. Class is never out. And fellow believers, could we not so easily make a statement about who God is and His heart simply by how we honor those in our family?